Welcome to Jewish Boy Calls His Mother. I'm your host, Sadia. This is my mother, Ima. Hey, Ima.
Hey, sweetness. We are together this weekend.
Yeah, it's been like the other ones too. This week's topic is what's a mundane task or thing that gives you joy? I'll start you off. I'll start you off. I really enjoy, like, if I can get plugged in to like a good podcast or a good album, and I can just start cleaning the house. I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps a lot, like when you're doing something you really don't want to do, like cleaning the house, putting on nice music. Somehow it's like anesthesia. It deadens the pain.
I think what happens is that like you start to in because when I listen to an album, I have to be doing something else. I don't know why. I think it's because of my ADHD or whatnot. Like I have to be doing something else while going ahead and,
You hit on something very interesting. Like you said, because of your ADHD, whatever, but I'm wondering, like what we call ADHD, if that isn't, we think of ADHD as something that is not normal, that these are people that can't keep their mind on their task. But I have a feeling it is normal. I have the feeling the majority of people really are ADHD. You go into like a car garage.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like mechanics, whatever, or plumbers working, whatever, and people in the trades, whatever, they're in their shops, always playing music while they're working.
Well, it's funny you say the idea of like normalcy because I saw this viral video and it was showing, 100 years ago a picture of a car. Then it showed a picture of a car today, which is obviously totally different. Then it showed 100 years ago, it was like a picture, or was it a picture of, I can't remember what it was. But the point was, it was making all these different pictures of so many things that have advanced and changed, and there's so many differences. And then they showed a picture of a classroom 100 years ago, and they showed it to today and showed that it didn't change at all.
I've seen that.
Yeah, so like, so,
Yeah.
I mean,
Everyone's still on the desk, still facing forward.
it's just, there
Yeah.
should be another way of teaching. There should be another method of teaching. There should be an advancement, and there hasn't been.
That's a very good point. That is a very, very good. I remember when I was in college, there was a lot of experimentation that was going on at the time with education, and they were trying open classrooms, which they tried. It didn't work. Because I worked in an open classroom situation in Baltimore City my first year, and it got to the point where the kids were walking around, nobody was learning anything, and the teachers finally had to take them to a section of the open air area and put up a blackboard and just teach them. Traditionally, like everybody sitting down on the floor, facing forward, looking at the book, at the blackboard, and that's, all they could do. But during that time, there was a concept about instead of giving our kids like books and having them learn by rote, try instead to give them more like projects to do, like or group projects to do, rather than sitting and just, learning plain by rote. I tried a little bit of that. Okay, the problem with that is it works great once you have the skills. But when you're really teaching the very, very basic skills, you need the kids sitting at the desk, focused, books open, writing, doing actual, writing. Now, I found as a piano teacher, one of the temptations that a lot of music teachers have is that when we're introducing a piece, sometimes we'll play the piece for the kid to show them, of course, how it sounds. And I'm trying to get away from less of my playing, more than, in other words, instead of me demonstrating something for the child or the student, having my student putting their hands on the keyboard and me telling them what to play, like very slowly, the notes to play, so that they are actually totally engaged, not just me playing,
Yeah.
like demonstrating and them watching. I had this one piano teacher, as a matter of fact, he used to get so involved in demonstrating for me what to play. He would just start playing and playing, and I'd be sitting there like this. And then after about 10 minutes, he'd look at me and go, "Oh, that's right. This is your lesson. I guess you should be playing this." Yeah, no kidding.
Well, my question is when it comes to like, okay, that picture where it's just like they showed a picture from the 1900s and picture of today and classroom settings are still the same, but teaching methods have changed, no? Or still the memorize, spit out, like
The only
learning
teaching
skill
method
set.
that changed is that you're not allowed to hit the kids anymore. They don't have the stools with the dunce cap that the kid would wear, the class dummy would have to wear. They don't
So
have the
public
teachers with
humiliation, public
the yeah.
beatings have been taken away.
Well, my father tells me stories. He went to school during the 1920s,
Okay.
and he told me there was this one teacher who, if a kid was talking, she would walk around the room. She had a yardstick. And she'd walk around the room with the kids, so she'd walk over very sweet and say, "Now, Johnny, you know you're not supposed to talk while I'm teaching. Hold out your hand." And she'd hit him on his finger, and she'd go, "Did that hurt, Johnny?" You go, "Yes." He'd go, "Hold up the other hand."
Wow.
Then I had some friends from South Africa who they eliminated corporal punishment rather late, like during the late 1960s. In the United States, it was mostly eliminated after World War II,
Okay.
certainly by the 1950s. Except the very interesting fact that one of our teachers told us in junior high school was that we knew that teachers were, by that time, were not allowed to hit the kids. But he said, "Do you know that according to Maryland state law, the vice principal is allowed to hit children?"
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still?
This was, I don't know what's going on now, but this was, I was in a junior high school, say like 1963, 63, 64.
Okay. Well, now I'm curious to see if corporal punishment, what are the corporal
It's
punishment
called
laws in Maryland?
corporal punishment.
What are the laws in Maryland?
So my friends in South Africa told me that they had this one teacher who teachers were allowed to hit kids. And so what the teacher would do is she would take a yardstick. She'd have the kids stand up in front of the class, and she would go like this, like she was going to really smack the kid, and then she would give him a little tap, just a teeny little gentle tap.
So Maryland law does recognize a parent or caretaker's right to use reasonable physical force, but I wonder
Schools.
for schools, because that's it prohibits corporal punishment. So they
Even
answer.
the vice principal's not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I had a music teacher in fourth grade who he had something really funny. He would hang he had on the chalkboard, he had this paddle,
Yeah.
and on the paddle it said Board of Education,
Yeah,
and it was a picture of these kids bent over and of a teacher whacking them on the tush. He never used it was just there for a joke.
I wonder why after World War II they stopped using corporal punishment in America. Was that just something that like they wanted to go into more of a peaceful society? They were trying to stay away, step away from it, or
It's a very good
psychologists were
question.
saying that maybe this really doesn't work, it doesn't help.
That's a really good question. It was I guess well my after my parents' generation suffered through it, maybe they obviously came to that conclusion, like, hey, this is just plain not right. This is not the way you educate children.
Was there ever something that your grandparents told your parents that they were a lucky generation and a soft generation?
My parents told me that for sure. I
I know,
remember it was
but
true.
do you
My
ever feel
parents.
like
My parents telling
your grandparents telling your parents?
I don't remember my parents ever saying anything like that. I don't remember. I don't remember. I think we had this on a previous podcast though, when my grandfather was complaining about their life in the Ukraine during the winter
Oh,
time. But no, I don't remember my parents telling me anything about their parents saying anything to them that they were, better, that they had a cushier life than they had running away from the
Well, so then I have another question then. What, I guess, in this latest generation do you feel like how lucky they are and behavior-wise, how good they are?
Well, first of all, information-wise, you guys, oh my God, when you guys wrote your reports in school, all you had to do was go to the internet.
Not me,
Yeah.
Emma, you're forgetting I'm
What?
old.
Oh, you're old. Excuse me. You never went to and downloaded the
We
information?
couldn't, Emma. Tati had like, I think we didn't get the internet till I was in 7th grade, and
But
we
you
just.
still had reports,
Ema,
didn't you?
Google did, yes, but Google wasn't advanced enough to really utilize be utilized on that level. I still had to go to school. I still had to go ahead and read books and psych and
get the
things.
information. Yeah,
Yeah,
like I got,
I
I
mean,
went to the library
I
and looked
used
through.
Google, but it wasn't as advanced as it is now. Like now you ask a question, there's all these sources of
Surrey.
answers and
You go to Surrey. Surrey, tell me. Get out of
Siri, it's
Siri.
Siri,
Oh, it's
Siri,
Siri.
Siri.
Oh, well, my Siri answers to Surrey.
Ema, I think I just gave up and just looked at something like this bitch. But what I say was I'm talking about like my niece's generation. That's what I'm
Well, I
talking about.
remember. Well, I remember. I think one thing though, I remember Yehuda one
Yeah.
time had a report, and we kept saying to him, "Yehuda, I think he was in, I forgot, fourth, fifth grade. Yehuda, when are you going to start working on your report? Oh, don't worry, don't worry. When you start, don't worry, don't worry." The night before his report, he showed us, "Look, I did my report." I don't know. He went. He must. He got. He went somewhere, got the information all printed out, and that was it. Had the printout. So I explained to him, look, you're not allowed to do that. This is plagiarism. You're not allowed to just take this report
Yeah.
that you got off the internet and bring
Ema,
it
there
to
was
school.
no internet when you hit him in
I don't know
fourth
how he
grade.
did it then. He went on the computer and got it
Ema, there
down.
was no access. We had
He
no computer then, Ema.
he must have gotten it from a book.
Yehuda in fourth grade was like
Then he must have printed it out from a
19,
book then.
1990, I think.
Okay. So he must have printed it out from a book or something. Like it was a printout. It was a
Yeah.
total printout. And so, yeah.
He probably found a book that gave a report of whatever they needed to
Yeah,
do, and he probably
I bet you
copied
remember.
it, and that was it.
That was it.
You might
So
there,
what
yeah.
happened was, so I had to sit down with him and show him how to read through it, pull out the ideas, and put them in your own words,
Yeah.
and draw your own concepts, and put them in your own words, and develop the idea from, reading. You can't just cut out the article, paste it on a piece of paper, and hand it in.
Yeah. So what I was saying from the original question that had nothing
Yeah.
to do with my siblings and me,
Yes.
my nieces, the ones are that between the ages of 10 to I would say 13, how have you seen them as behaviorally and other people at that age generationally different than when you grew up, and how is it better?
It like I say, some aspects better, some aspects worse.
Okay.
Like I said, information, they have much the it's easier to get information. You have a question, you just like go on, you have a math problem, it's great. Like what was Shirley one time, a couple times she had math problems that the teacher I felt did not explain well enough. She didn't understand it. We went on the computer, went on the internet, and wow, it explained it so well on these one of these like math tutorial websites. Excellent explanation. I noticed my grandchildren, I mean, they're watching the educational programs they're watching are so much better. They watch like there's this math program that they watch
Yeah.
that shows, it's so cute. It shows like these little blocks. And these little blocks are talking. And I can make myself two. I can make myself three. One, two, three. Look at me. Look at me. I can make myself taller. One, two, three, four. And they do it. They have it with multiplication and division. And the kids can see. And it's all done like in cartoon style, where you can actually see the figures talking to each other. In my day, it was more cut and dry. And they did have some educational programs when I was a kid, which I like. There was one program I used to love to watch. It was called Adventures in Mathematics.
Okay.
And I don't remember much about the program itself, but I do remember the intro. I like the intro because the intro used this very interesting music. I like the music of the intro. But they, as a matter of fact, there were sometimes when if there was going to be a historical documentary on television,
Yes.
our homework that night would be to watch that documentary on television.
Interesting.
Yeah, we were actually good. Or there was one time that there was going to be like an interesting, even an entertainment program,
Yeah.
but there was going to be something in that entertainment program that was interesting. Our teachers would actually, for an assignment, give us that program to watch and write up about it. Like one of our assignments in sixth grade was we had to watch a synopsis and criticism of our favorite television program.
What was yours?
Mine was McHale's Navy.
Oh yes,
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of it, and I
And
saw the remake movie in the 90s, I think.
yeah, I saw that too. But Mikhail said so this girl who I didn't like, and she had already competition, she wrote her report on my three sons. And so she came and she gave her report on my three sons. And the very end of the episode was when this neighbor was giving the boys cookies and milk, and she says, "I want to see all those cookies eaten up." And that was the last end of her report, and she started to giggle, and nobody else in the class laughed. Said it was my turn to get my report on McHale's Navy. Oh my God, the class couldn't stop laughing the entire time I was telling them about the program, what happened and everything.
Oh gosh. So,
I was very happy they lifted my report and not hers.
just to confirm what you're talking about. So this generation has more opportunities for information, better education. What about like interaction or playing games or
Yeah, that's
learning
the thing in a
to
way
socialize?
that I'm kind of, yeah, and a lot of educators have said this, that they're concerned about the lack of socialization because everyone's on their cell phones. Now, I think the games, like the video games that they have, as long as they're not violent, I don't like, it's the video games that, that create violence, obviously, is not a good effect on our next generation. But I think a lot of the video games are very good in that they encourage problem solving and patience. I mean, I've seen some of my grandchildren playing some of these. I think it was Zelda, maybe that little boy figure. It's like Middle Ages takes place. It's like castles or
Could be
whatever.
Zelda,
You
yeah.
just, yeah, and I've seen them do the same steps, like the same levels, over and over and over and over and over again until they finally get that one little niche that finally they're able to solve that top level.
Interesting.
And I tell you, it's very admirable. I don't, it's, to be able to do everything, to be able to have that much patience to sit and do something over and over and over again until you finally are able to solve it. That's quite good.
There was a viral video that went that came out a couple of years ago, and it showed this kid with ADHD watching a teacher explain mathematics and then watching Star Wars. And the kid was watching and he mathematics and he was just all over the place, constantly swiveling his chair, getting kind of bored, whatever. In Star Wars, he was in like one place, just watching and just paying attention. And it's just like, I think what it is, and I think I've mentioned this before in a different podcast episode, of the idea that, if it's interesting enough, you get the person's attention. And I think it's just that like people were forced to deal with unentertaining, uninteresting, boring, teaching methods. And then we found better ones and we realized how good they were that we didn't even want the other ones.
Well, I remember my some of my teacher training, some of the teachers I was trained under saying that we are competing with television, where there is something new and interesting every single second to get these kids' attention. We have to be entertainers. We can't be just, playing blah teachers. The thing is, though, that as a human being, you're competing with an industry that's spending millions of dollars to do all sorts of special effects to get children's attention and people's attention, and you're just one person, you're a human being. What do you have?
Well,
It's like, how can you compete with that?
Ima, here's a fun fact. Nowadays, those big corporations are trying to compete with kids on YouTube. You could have there's these podcasts that go on for 4 hours and thousands, if not millions, of views. And people sat there, watched just two people talk. Nothing else changes except for the conversation, and it just becomes something interesting. People are tired of BS. They're just not dealing with someone who's just gonna. I'll give you an example. There's this. You can go online and look for recipes, right? And the recipes somehow have to have a whole backstory to them, a whole explanation. Nobody cares about that. Nobody does. They go straight to the recipe. So too, when it comes to like people interview, like even this podcast, I've listened to it and critiqued it and tried to tweak as much as I can, and I have to somehow find ways to get better. But it's just like, you have a point you're trying to make, and then you elaborate on the point more and more and more and more and more. Before you get to the point, people lose interest.
And
And
so, like with some of these things on YouTube, like five foods that you must avoid if you have arthritis. Okay, so why can't you just tell me the five foods and go on? First, let me tell you about my organization. First, let me
yeah,
tell you
we've
about
talked
myself.
about
And
that.
then,
We've talked about that. We talked about how you got scammed and you watched a dumb video for a half hour and realized that it was just something that, unnecessary.
Yes.
But the point is that, like, even a 30-second, 1-minute clip,
Yes.
this it, there's these people online. They're called, and I've watched a few of them where they watch these stupid videos and then they just give you the answer. Like, it's called Second Saver or Video Time Saver. One guy's named Time Saver 3000 or something like that, where they watch like these YouTube videos that are like 5, 6, 7 minutes long. They're like, you won't believe what happened. And they're like, after 2 seconds, it's like, oh yeah, A, B, and C happened. That's it. Move on.
You know what I've been doing lately?
What?
Like some of the things on YouTube where they're talking about like events, like news events, event,
Yeah.
whatever. I start to watch it, and you say like, and they start to show, here's the neighborhood, and here's the, and here's it, and here's it. Instead of getting, so I do is I just move the button. I just keep
Yeah.
moving the button over and
Yeah.
over and over.
Yeah.
So I finally found out what happened at
So
the end.
now you see why people just have less patience for bullshit. Where it's
Yes.
like, don't piss on me and tell me it's raining. Don't elaborate or trying to like, fluff something up. Just give it to me straight. I think more and more people nowadays are having less patience for being fluff, getting all this fluff.
Well, in my day, it was Reader's Digest.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of Reader's Digest, was to take these long, long novels with all their description and whatever and details, and basically take these books and basically condense them to the very essence of what they're about. As a matter of fact, I remember one time, there was a very funny essay that we read and listened to. It was a recorded essay. It was written and it was also recorded. I forgot what grade I was in. I had to be in sixth or seventh grade. It was hysterical. It was this journalist was talking about things like Reader's Digest and how at the time that the public's quest, like you said, for cutting through fluff and just getting right to the point was getting more and more like to the forefront. So he was joking around about all these new publications similar, like Reader's Digest and everything, that does this to books. And he said they came up with a new one called Regurgitant. And that's okay, I'll start laughing with that.
Very cute. Well, it's that's what I'm saying. I think
You're talking about ADHD. May I grab my coffee?
sure, grab your coffee. But as like what I was saying, hold on, let me just readjust.
This is delicious. How'd you make this latte?
I went ahead and
Talking about recipes.
recipes, yeah.
How'd you make this latte?
No, it's very simple. You just go ahead and you don't you you use less water than needed. So you don't add water and boil it and then put the milk and put the coffee in. You boil the oat milk itself and then put the coffee in. That way you're avoiding watering down the flavor. It doesn't taste like crap and actually tastes decent. That's what you do. Shoot, I was gonna say something.
You're talking about recipes?
Ah, no, you was talking about recipes. I was talking about something else. Forgot. Damn it. Forgot.
Regurgitant.
Oh yeah. Well, what I was trying to say was, like you told me, and I haven't heard like all like the lore, so to speak, of like when Mashiach comes, and that before Mashiach, the whole world will just be tired of lies and just want to scream for the truth. And I think it's funny, but I feel like this generation, like we're feeling it more than the last. I don't know how long this is going to be, but people are getting really sick of just lies, just flat out lies. But whatever.
Oh.
It is what it is.
I remember my mother saying something that if you look at like a lot of the old movies from the 30s and 40s, it was like a lot of these movies like were changed around, to have happy endings. People wanted happy
Oh,
endings,
yeah.
especially during the 30s and 40s, because there was so much going on. And my mother said to me that a lot of the humor and a lot of the movies so that we had in my day, we were a very innocent generation in many respects. We like the sex that was in the movies was not explicit.
You
It was
had porn
very
videos happening all the time back in the day.
well, porn videos are forever, but I'm talking about general
General
audiences.
audiences, because the FCC went nuts because the 1920s they did whatever they wanted.
I guess you're right
So
about
no, it's just they only remember it because they made sure it looked a certain way. Like I said before, 1950s, all you have is like a Leave It to Beaver kind of attitude, because that's all they allowed. With the 1950s, you had the McCarthy era where people were being pulled into the government and thrown into prison because somebody told them that they were communists. So no, it was terrible. 1950s like with the rights that people had, it was almost like impossible. No, it was just it wasn't it was just what they were willing to create a perception of.
An
I
example
don't.
though of how though they would swing movies, like general movies.
Okay,
Okay. Okay.
give your
You ever
generalization, give your
okay.
generalization, and then I can just go
Okay,
ahead
we
and
know okay.
break it out.
Have you ever read Tennessee Williams Glass Menagerie?
Last Menagerie.
Okay. And when they in the 19
I
late
mean,
1940, it was like
yeah.
1940s, they made Tennessee Williams' movie Glass Menagerie into a movie. The end of the play. It's the end of the play is really very sad and depressing. Instead, they swung it to make it very positive. In the end of the movie, he can't take it anymore. And basically, he has this very over-controlling, it takes place in New Orleans, very over-controlling Southern mother who was the Southern belle who lives in the past of when her family was rich and she was this beautiful, popular Southern belle. And what does that say? Which head?
No. Continue conversation, and I'll say something.
Okay,
Continue talking. I got something. Locked and loaded.
okay,
Locked and loaded.
so what they did was at the end of the movie, at the end of the play, he can't take it anymore, he leaves. And his sister who is cannot handle life at all. She's so shy, she just can't handle life, And so, she lives in the past, and the Glass Menagerie is her little glass collection of animals that she has that she plays with all day. I mean, she's like 24 years old,
And she's, yeah.
and she's still staying at home and playing with these animals, whatever. And because she just cannot handle life, and she just reverts back into her shy,
Little shit self.
little self at the end of the. Now, what they did at the end of the movie that they made, that they changed the play, so that at the end she finally speaks up to her mother, and she finally, gets out there in the world
Yeah.
and she starts to date this guy and she,
Lives a
she,
good life.
yeah. And he does what he always wanted to do. He always wanted to join the Merchant Marine and you see him on a boat smiling. At the end of the movie, he says, "Blow out your candles, Laura, for now the world is lit by lightning. Blow out your candles, Laura, and so goodbye." So in the movie, when he says so goodbye, he puts his pipe in his mouth and you see him, he's on a Merchant Marine vessel and he's smiling and waving. And of course, in the play, it was not like that at all.
But yeah, that's a really nice, happy ending, right?
Yeah,
It was such a no, it was
but they
really,
changed. They changed it for
I
the
know.
audiences in the
Yeah, because
1940s.
1940s, right? And the FCC, and like what I said before, they had more control. They were trying to force a narrative. The first released in 1950 and directed by Irving Rapper stars Gertrude Lawrence, Jane Wayman, Arthur Kennedy, and Kirk Douglas. William characterized this version, which had an implied happy ending.
Joseph Cotton, Joseph
No.
Cotton.
Yeah.
That was Joseph
No, it
Cotton.
was Kirk Douglas.
No, Kirk Douglas was the guy who comes
All right, so
and
I'm gonna go ahead and re-speak this. Just give me one second. The
okay.
first released in 1950 and directed by Irving Rapper stars Gertrude Lawrence as Amanda, Jane Wyman as Laura, Arthur Kennedy as Tom, and Kirk Douglas as Jim.
Okay.
Williams characterized this version, which had an implied happy ending grafted onto it in the style of American films from the era, as the worst adaptation of his work. Bossy Kroner of the New York Times says, "As much as we hate to say so, Miss Lawrence's performance does not compare with the tender and radiant creation of the late Laura Taylor on the stage. The film has never been released on home media." Yeah, the point I was trying to make
Yeah.
is they were trying to force a positive narrative, like all this time, and
Right.
you have all these storylines where they just want a reality of what's going on. I'm not sorry. That sounds like a repetitive. Sorry, that sentence. Made bullshit. That was like a repetitive, redundant law. Nope. Okay. What I'm trying
Regurgitant.
to, yeah, it's a waste of time. What I'm trying to say is this. So, like each decade has its own energy, right? You look at a 1970s sci-fi compared to 1980s sci-fi. It's totally different. 1970s was really in dystopian. Everything was terrible. Yada yada. 1980s, everything was like, you had Back to the Future. You had all these other movies that were very much a lot of fluff. 90s had like a grunge vibe to it, but the point I was trying to make was that you can't just go ahead and make a strong blank statement that they were naive, they didn't know this or that. It was just something that they just didn't care for, or something that they were trying to push to the public. Like looking at the 1920s and saying that, and comparing it to the 1930s becomes the film and saying like, oh, this was a more appropriate SNEAS generation, as everyone loves to say, like, oh, back in the past they were so SNEAS. Like they were so modest, like they weren't. They had their own issues. They had all these messed up stuff that they would
It wasn't
do.
out in the open.
It was in the opening, but things were openly open all the time. It was just the fact that like you just kind of accepted it. But I think what it is each generation has its own ups and downs, and you'll never know. I don't believe in comparing. I really don't. I don't like to say like, oh, my generation was the best, or we had the best music when I was growing up. Like, no, music comes and goes, and the shittier ones die off, and the good ones hold on.
So true.
So it's just like when you went
Although
when
you do like listening to the 60s music.
yeah, 60s music was dope. Good 60s music that survived the criticism of the time was great. I love it. I love the Beatles, Simon Garfunkel,
Peter, Paul, and
Peter,
Mary.
Paul, and Mary. Getting a phone call, eh? We can ignore it for now. Tell them we're doing a podcast. Actually, just pick it up now and just tell them we're 07.
No. Let's continue. Let's
Okay, because
continue.
it's gonna bug. You're gonna hear it there, the audio's gonna pick up. So just okay, it's
There
done.
you
All right, fine. So the thing is that
That'd be a good topic.
what
Technology that coincidentally listens to you. Like,
that
how many times have I said stop ringing? His phone stops ringing.
well, I mean, they're going to listen to you. It already does. I mean, I remember, and this is something it's so hack not even mentioned, but it's just like, you'll be talking, having a conversation with somebody, and you'll see advertisements like on Facebook about something you literally just talked about.
Oh, that's interesting. One time I was in a store with my then boyfriend in college, and I started to hum this tune. About 5 minutes later, the tune came out on the music, the store music that
Oh, the
comes out.
Muzak.
And my boyfriend looks at me and goes, "Are you psychic?"
Well, are you psychic, Gamma? I'm curious. What in your life have you ever predicted and came true? Like, listen here. No, it's more of like you see a pattern going on. You're like, this is going to happen. This is going to end. This is not going to end well. And sure enough, it wound up being it didn't end well. And something personal, not like political, where like you can see an issue and whatnot. I'm talking about like you see, I would say, I'll give you an example. At these first
That's
seconds.
what I was thinking.
Seconds.
Go ahead, go ahead.
That was the I literally saw it.
Your older sister's like first and
Second.
second married.
I saw the guy from a block away and I told you, I was like, the kid, that guy's something's off with him. But
I think that happens to everybody. Like I've seen some couples, in the Jewish community here. The minute they get engaged, you think this is not going to,
This
and
is gonna be fun.
sure enough,
Yeah.
a year or two later, it
I
crashes.
knew this one guy, and like he got engaged. I'm like, that doesn't.
That's not being psychic. That's being kind of like to put one and one together, you get two.
Yeah, so that's fine. Let's not talk. So not that. But I mean, is saying like, I guess when it comes to like, raising kids, where you see somebody, you're like, that kid's gonna go somewhere. That kid's gonna have a rough time. And then 10, 15 years later, you're like, yeah, called it. Yeah, you've ever had that?
Teachers do that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Teachers do that all the time.
Yeah.
True.
So what's
So between, being like evaluating something, a
Yeah.
situation, and a psychic is when you're not evaluating the situation, but you, it's like you
Your
have,
intuition.
yeah, it's like for example, it's very interesting. Like we mentioned that, and me singing that song before it actually came out is not unusual. This happened a few times to me. There are other people I know where we'll start singing a song in the car, turn on the radio, and that very sound that we were singing or talking about will be on the radio. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said something. He said, when you have an idea, he says, ideas have power
Yes.
without you even verbalizing,
Yeah.
and like vibes that things are out there, energies are out there that people pick up on.
So what have you done that would give that a good example?
Myself, like
No, I
the
want another
dead
one. I want
couples,
another one.
another one.
Another one. Entertain me.
After that, I'm trying to think of other situations in my
It's just
career.
like whatever. It's like
I'll think. I'll probably think. I'll th After the podcast is when I think of all
okay,
these things.
the podcast is over. Okay, go ahead, continue.
Let me see.
What?
Oh, I noticed something very interesting.
Wow.
My nurse midwife was always on the mark about predicting the sex of my babies. It's unbelievable. And she told me that. She goes, other people tell
Yeah,
me about her too. It's
it's no, it's
unbelievable.
because the way the baby, from what I was told, it's the way the baby holds itself in the womb. If it's if it's more upright, like if the if the pregnant woman, like here's the pregnant woman, and then here's the stomach, uterus, whatever. If it's like this, it's a boy. If it's like that, if it drops down, oh, if it drops down, it's a girl. If it if it's raised high, it's a boy.
That I never heard of. That's
Yeah,
interesting.
I heard it
Where'd
multiple
you hear this
times.
from?
Mul So many women, so many people on Instagram, so many like all these random like pseudo doctors, whatever, they've all said the same exact little story.
Because my nurse midwife didn't say that to it. She just said that it's like she told me that. She said somehow she has this intuition. Whenever her patients come to her, she just knows. Like she'll whoever she refers to the baby. She, if you're in your pregnancy, she refers to the baby as a boy, as a him, and she says him, he, him. Yep, it's a boy. If she says she, her, it's a girl. And one time when I was in labor, I noticed like sometimes when I was in labor, when I was doing the really heavy breathing, if I went, it turned to be a boy. If I went, like a she, it turned to be a girl. The week before I would give birth, this is real hysterical. If I would
Oh
open
yeah,
up
you never knew the
the pepper, I told you the pepper
No,
started
I
doing
just
this.
realized you never got the che you never checked the sex when you were pregnant. You never got an ultrasound until the
That's
last child.
right. That's
After
right.
not after 9 kids, the last one gets an ultrasound.
No, but I wouldn't. I didn't want to know the sex. I wanted to be surprised.
Yeah, but you never used
So
the
no.
ultrasound.
So here's what
Fine,
happened.
continue,
So
whatever.
she, whenever I would slice up a pepper,
Yeah.
if when I was like the week before I would give birth, if it was a boy, there the baby peppers inside were long and thin.
Yeah.
If it was a girl, the baby peppers inside were little and round.
Interesting. See, that's the kind of story I was looking for. Jeez, I had to like dig out of here. Like I have to like go through like what I'm trying to do here. Yeah, so
And when I told this to my nurse midwife about the pepper story,
yeah.
she just looked at me and cracked up laughing.
Well, it's always it's I always find it funny where like you have these little nuanced stories where it's just like these little quinky dings. It kind of gives a little flavor to life, you know? But that's I don't know. It's something that it's always fun to talk about.
We have to laugh about the Larry King one time
Yeah.
was criticizing these these popular psychics
Yeah.
that predicted the future and everything. So he referred to this one woman, supposed to be this big psychic. So he says, okay, let's read what she just read was doing. And she said it was, and he was during the Clinton administration. She goes, President Clinton will have a lot of challenges in his administration. And then Larry King goes, boy, this lady's a real rocket scientist.
Yeah, it's that broad stroke. That's what I was telling you about the broad stroke, you know. That's what I'm saying. When you say when everybody, I'll give you an example. There's a one last story before we got to call a day. We were out of our mitzvah last weekend in Silver Spring, and I was looking for the coffee room, and this little 9-year-old boy said, "There's no coffee room here. If it's not out front, there's no coffee at all whatsoever." I'm like, okay, buddy. All right, it's fine. And then I just turned around and I asked an adult, like, "Where's the coffee room?" And they showed me to the coffee room. I'm like, yeah, I remember. I'm like, I told him I didn't realize it was an earshot of the kid. But I'm like, yeah, I never listened to what a kid has to say. And I go ahead and I leave. I come back. The kid is going to his father, crying, telling how he was hurt that like I listened, didn't listen to him and how like I ignored him. So I told him like, listen, buddy. It's not that like you probably he's like I was here my whole life I know what you're talking about he's like nine so like look you know like it's gonna be fine but just remember in general if someone says an absolute there's a high probability that's not true so that's what I'm trying to say if anyone says never this always that there's a high chance that that's probably false so I don't believe the 1950s everything was all nice and dandy and I think it's kind of funny and ironic that people are more worried today about safety with children than in the 90s, but in the 90s it was way more dangerous. So it's just, and we have more, I guess, products to help keep our kids safe. But whatever, we'll cross that bridge when we get there and
As
see
they
what we
say,
can.
never say never.
I know, like we just said. All right, I love you. We'll
Love
have a
you
good
too.
Shabbos. I'm gonna hit the ground running. Let's go.
Bye-bye.